Being again before you to speak his precious word, words of life, words of comfort, words that breed contentment. Let us pray briefly. Now, righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, again we say thank you. Again, Lord, we praise and bless you for your people, Lord God, gathered, those that assemble, Lord, around this earth who you will cause. Because you have caused them to listen in, to watch in. Lord, we pray great illumination and enlightenment unto them. We pray, O God, you will cause your word to resonate with our in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, Lord, affecting us on our day-to-day journey through and in time until we are manifested where we always were and are right now. In eternity in the body of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Won't you turn with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And we're going to continue where we left off a couple of weeks ago. And we were speaking to you from this thought, let me designate our reader, Ella William Nicholson. Ella, we're going to have quite a bit of reading today, so be ready. Amen. From this thought, a complete salvation, actualization in eternity in God's decree through manifestation in time unto manifested glorification. We're going to take verses 28 through 39 for a context, but we're going to deal primarily and specifically with verse 28 and 29. Again, a complete salvation, nothing lacking, nothing left out, not coming up short anywhere. Actualization, that is when God brought our salvation into existence, and that realm was in eternity. Actualization in eternity, and it was by and out of God's decree. All spiritual, through manifestation in the created entity of time. Our salvation was manifested. Most of us in here were born in the 20th century, but this is what God wrought in eternity, before Adam, before anything. Manifestation in time. In the flesh, when God manifests our salvation. Not to all. Now let me say something about that. All of our salvation is not manifested in time. It was actualized. All that God saved and called, their salvation was actualized or brought into existence in eternity. But all of our salvation is not manifested in time. We have the little baby, we have the aborted ones, either way, purposely or other, and we have those that are mentally incompetent, and we have those that were placed geographically where the gospel have not reached them. I know what Romans 10:9-10 says. But all of those, faith, hearing the word of God, how can they hear without a preacher? You check that out. All of those are in the aorist tense. God having given, amen, or determined the faith and the believing in eternity, and then is manifested in time. Our problem is, Well, I don't want to sound like another minister around here, but hey, here it goes. We have put salvation in time. Salvation is of the Lord, and it was not actualized in time. For we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We were chosen before creation. That being holy and unblameable before him in love. All right. Elder, I want you to read what God had given the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected, glorified from the eternal heavenly spiritual, had given to the Apostle Paul regarding our complete salvation. I want you to go ahead, Elder, and read it from the King James Version, and I might make some small comment as we go. And then we're going to sail back on. We're going to read verses 28 through 39, then we'll sail back to verse 28 and 29 for exegesis and explanation. All right. Elder, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and read through to 39, and I'll make some small comment as the Spirit leads me is needed.
Verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that all things work together for good.
Mm-hmm.
To them that love God,
mm-hmm.
to them who are called according to his purpose.
Now, I have to stop you here, because I'm coming back to these two verses. Read on.
For whom he did foreknow,
mm-hmm.
he also did predestinate
mm-hmm.
to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Yes.
That he might be firstborn among many brethren.
All right. Now, not only that, but verse 30, our complete salvation. Listen to it.
Moreover,
mm-hmm.
whom he did predestinate,
yes.
them he also called.
Predestination means to determine your destiny before or ahead. And in this case, of your manifested existence. For you have encapsulated in flesh. God had already predetermined or saved us in eternity. Eternity is before time. Time is a creation. Eternity is right now. Else it could not be eternity. It is right now. Amen. Time is what God created and encapsulated or placed it in the vastness of eternity. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he did what?
Justified.
He also called, and whom he called, he justified. God declared you righteous on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ. The Lamb of God was slain in eternity. That was actualization, and it was manifested on Calvary. That was manifestation, but it was actualized in eternity. That's why he could save Adam, not destroy him, because the blood had already been shed in eternity, not Amen. On MasterCard Amen. Or, hallelujah, or certain other formulas that ministers have come up with. The blood was already available.
Yes. Amen.
The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Read, Ella. He justified, declared righteous. And that righteousness, may I say, is an imputed righteousness. We are not righteous in ourselves, and hence the doctrine of imputation, where the righteousness of Christ is imputed or counted to us.
Mm-hmm.
God's people ought to know that. Mm-hmm.
Whom he justified.
What'd he do?
Them he also glorified.
Aorist indicative, already done. We've already been glorified, saints. It's already happened. You know what the thing of it is with us? We want to see everything. We will, but not with natural eyes.
Amen.
Amen. It just hasn't been manifested to us. It is done or actualized or come into being or came into being through God's decree or saying it or determine it in eternity.
Amen.
Before we see it. We shall see it, but we're not with natural eyes. We'll see it similar to the way Paul was caught up when he was put out of his misery, taken out and stoned to death. The Lord took him out of his earthly consciousness and caught him up to the third heaven. He saw things that he didn't have words when he came back to earth consciousness, out of unconsciousness. He didn't have words to describe it. It wasn't unlawful. He wouldn't get put in jail for saying them, although he did get put in jail for a lot. But he didn't have words to articulate it. Read on, Ella.
What shall we then say?
What are we going to say to these things? Uh-huh.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Who?
He despaired not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not be with him and freely give us all things?
All these things are not in time. This is what God has already decreed. It's signified by all these aorist tenses, aorist indicatives. It's what God has already done. It awaits manifestation, the showing to us and all creation what God have wrought. Read, Ella.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is God the justifier?
Is God that then declared you righteous, the judge of all?
Who is he that condemneth?
Oh, my God.
It is Christ that died.
Christ died for you. Who is he to condemn you? Yea, rather.
Then he is risen again.
He's risen again.
Who is even at the right hand of God. Who also make an intercession for us.
Christ died, rose again, all aorist tenses. What happened 2,000 years ago was manifestation of what God had eternally decreed. We got to understand, saints, if the Lord, we pray God give us understanding, that is not the things that God hath done are not in the seeing, is in his eternal saying from the venue of eternity. When God says it, it is. When we see it or it show up, that's the manifestation for our benefit or testimony of what God have already done. Read, Ella. I'm going to try to quit. We got to get through this.
Who is he that condemneth?
Who is he that condemneth?
It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God. Who also make an intercession for us.
Now, that's real intercession. Okay. All right. Read, Ella.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
All right. Now, here it is. This is further of that complete salvation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let's look at the catalog of things.
Shall tribulation or distress?
Catalog of possibilities. Shall tribulation or distress?
Or persecution?
The obvious answer is no. Or persecution?
Or famine.
Or what's going on in Africa now, hunger and starvation.
Or nakedness or peril
or sword. Or what might come to this country instead of having 2-3 cars in the garage, living worse than a third world country. Possible nakedness, peril, sword. All right. Read.
As it is written.
As it was written.
For the... thy sake, we are killed.
Literally or figuratively, we are killed.
All day long,
we
are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
Daily, we are counted as sheep for slaughter. And what?
Nay,
in
all these things, we are more than conquerors.
We are more than conquerors.
Through him that loved us.
Through him that loved us. Aorist tense. He loved us before creation in eternity. You said, saints. We're set. Finish it.
For I am persuaded.
So the conclusion Paul gives right here, for I am persuaded, and that not Paul making up his mind, is a perfect indicative in the passive voice, which we're going to meet again in verse 28. Perfect tense, completed action with ongoing results. God decreed that Paul would be persuaded. He determined that Paul would be persuaded, and the persuasion, passive voice, did not come out of Paul. It came from what the Lord had decreed. Mm-hmm. Read the other, I am persuaded.
Well, I am persuaded that neither death,
mm-hmm,
nor life,
nor life,
nor angels.
That's this life right here. Death right here. Physical death. Nor physical life. Nor what?
Angels.
Nor angels. Because when we're out of this life, this present manifested life, no more death. Nor angels.
Nor principalities.
Nor principalities.
Nor power.
Nobody to get in Washington, D.C. Yeah. Or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nor things present.
Nor things present.
Nor things to come.
Oh, my God. We don't know what's coming. An asteroid or something? Not even that. Mm-hmm. Not even that. Mm-hmm. What's read on, Ella.
Nor height.
Nor height.
Nor depth.
Nor depth.
Nor any other thing. Nor any other creature.
Nor any other in creation. That Greek word is creation. Nor any other in creation, all that is created, whatever it is, visible, invisible, seen, unseen, what?
Shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
Shall be able to separate us from the love of God,
which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Our Lord. And that includes our very own selves, saints. We are in that catalog of probabilities, and it come back, no. We can't separate ourselves from the love of God. We didn't merit ourselves to the love of God. It was done in eternity. God loved us. Why? For his own purpose. He chose us. He separated us. Why? For his own purpose. And God has not cherished his love on everyone. I know you've heard the saying, God love everybody. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. In Romans, it said that the Lord loved Jacob and hated Esau. And I looked up the word hated. It does not mean love less. Yeah. You know, potter of the clay of the same lump make one vessel to honor. And he made the vessel to honor and made the other vessel to dishonor. Amen. God did that. One to be cherished in love and one to be taken away or neglected. Amen. Eternally.
Amen.
A complete salvation. Actualization in eternity in God's decree through manifestation in time unto manifested glorification. I say manifested glorification because that's what it is. It only leaves to be manifested. It already is through God's word, God speaking it. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. The overwhelming majority of God's people, that is, children of God, saints, those that are separated unto God, we are called saints, not on the basis of merit, you know that's not so, but on the basis of what God has determined us in eternity in the body of Christ. Most of God's people, the majority of them, believe through erroneous, I didn't say ungodly, I said erroneous teaching and preaching. Through the lack of scriptural exegetical explanation. You have, in order to cut it straight, you have got to exegete the scriptures. You just can't take it at face value. You have to go into interpretation and translation. Amen. Interpretation, bring over to another language. Translation, when you bring it, say the same thing in that language that it was implying or saying in the language you brought it from.
Amen.
The scriptures have to be exegeted, not to be saved, but to have the proper understanding. You get the wrong understanding, you're going to think the wrong thing. You think the wrong thing, you're going to subject to do the wrong thing. Amen. To assess wrongly. Through the lack of scriptural exegetical explanation, that here's what majority of God's people erroneously put forth from the erroneous teaching and preaching, we prioritize or think that the seen take priority over the unseen. That's what the majority of God's people think. Right? I know what's going on now. I don't know what's out there. Yes, you do. According to God's word.
Amen.
That's what's going on everywhere.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Out there and in here.
Amen.
It's according to God's word. And erroneously, through teaching and preaching, God's people assess the temporal things taking priority. Notice the word I'm using, priority, priority. Not that these are not important. They are. The things of this life are important. But they are not the most important thing regarding us.
Amen.
All this shall shed. All this shall be left.
Amen.
All this shall be abandoned. They're not the most important thing. That the temporal things, God's people assessing the temporal things, taking priority over the eternal. They do not. They do not. Nothing could be further from the truth. While this is in the decree or determination of God, God's people assessing this, the Lord have not given them the proper illumination as of yet, as he have to some. While this is in the decree or determination of God, we wouldn't know the spoonful that we know except the Lord had assigned it unto us. Why? For his purpose. While this is in the decree or determination of God, for and according to his eternal purpose, to give knowledge here, withhold it from there, or withhold it from there for the time being, give it later. It's in God's, according to his eternal purpose. But out of our contract that God made with us in Christ Jesus, that is us, the grace church, and I heard this mentioned earlier, we have the grace contract.
Yes.
Or covenant.
Amen.
Ours is not the old covenant. Not only is ours not the old covenant, it's not the Edenic covenant that God made with Adam in the Garden of Eden. It's not the Adamic covenant that God made with Adam after he had eaten of the fruit. It's not the Noahic covenant that the Lord made with Noah before he got drunk. It's not the Abrahamic covenant that the Lord made with Abraham when he told him to come out from among your people. God has his elect in every dispensation or period of God's dealing with his elect or his beloved. He has a covenant or contract with all of them. That's why Israel was told, don't eat catfish. And the Lord Jesus gave the revelation of the mystery to the Apostle Paul to us in the Grace Church. Say, if it don't harm you, go at it. Whatever is sold in the meat market. We have not been given the new covenant, which the Lord Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom that shall come. We are now in the present evil age. We're not in the kingdom. The devil is not bound. The lamb and the lion can't lay down together. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom that shall come. Ours is the grace covenant and the grace contract, and every covenant has God's word delivered to his people according to that covenant and that contract.
Amen.
Ours is the mystery.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Ask Peter. Peter was the apostle of the circumcision. Paul is the apostle of the uncircumcision, or us. Unto Peter was given, was taught physically literally for 3.5 years were taught the principles of the kingdom. Unto Paul was given by revelation into his mind and spirit the gospel of the grace of God, or the mystery. Amen. For the grace church.
Amen.
God's word is to be measured to each according to his covenant that he has made with his beloved in each of the 7 dispensations. Every dispensation or administration, you might want to call it, or house rule, you might want to call it. It has its elect of that dispensation. It has its covenant or contract that God made with them of that dispensation. Mm-hmm. And it has its gospel or good message or good news that God gave to his beloved of that dispensation.
Amen.
See, if you try to follow the examples of the kingdom dispensation. And it said, only the pure in heart shall see God. Our hearts ain't been pure since heck was a pup. Hallelujah. We are in the dispensation of grace.
Amen.
In that kingdom dispensation, the devil will be bound. And the Lord Jesus will rule from Jerusalem and suppress all opposition until he determines it's time for it to raise up again and depravity to manifest itself again. And then he will allow the devil to be loose in battle of Armageddon, and he'll put down all opposition, new heavens, new earth. But where will we be then? Where we've always been, in the body of Christ. But you've got to not think physical. You've got to think spiritual when you're dealing with our gospel and our placement and our position in the body of Christ. Think outside the box. It's spiritual. That's how we can abide. We can be sitting enrobed in flesh, in time, in Ferndale, in the church, and still be spiritually, not physically, spiritually in the body of Christ. When? Right now. Spiritually. Hallelujah. The informed and the uninformed. And the grace covenant is for and to the informed and the uninformed. Even though some in this dispensation don't know it, it's still unto them. The informed and the uninformed. Even though we were decreed and manifestly placed in the temporariness of time, our primary focus, yes, primary, not only absolutely. Yes, get up in the morning like me and go to your job if you're not hurting too bad. Pay your bills. Operate in the neighborhood and amongst those, your associates. And do the things that operate in the functioning that God has assigned to you in this life. But they are not the prioritized things of God. In priority, we are saints and members of the body of Christ, because everything that's assigned us in earthly functioning, father, minister, pastor, deacon, lawn caretaker, teacher, whatever it is, father, uncle, it shall all disappear.
Amen.
When we are out of here. It's our assigned functioning in the temporariness of time. And it's temporary, just like its venue of time. Time is temporary. Did y'all know that? Time is temporary. It shall come to an end. Eternity is. Let me get through this. Our primary focus and our primary assessment, the way we assess things. Should not be from here. We should assess things according to God's word. But I can't understand it. Assess it according to the word. It's not in the seeing or the comprehension. It's in what God has said.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We assess things. Our hope, nor our Listen to me, because here come a one at you. Our hope should not be in the temporariness of time. And our affections, primary affections, should not be in the temporariness of time. Why? Again, they will be no more eventually. They will be no more. But while we operate in our God-assigned temporary functioning here, while we operate here, our hope, our primary affections, and our focus should prayerfully be where we not going to eternally abide, but do right now eternally abide spiritually in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And I submit to you Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Not if, but since then, you were risen with Christ. I know what the King James says. You are risen with Christ. You were aorist passive. Yes. You were risen with Christ. Seek what? The things above, where Christ is at right of God sitting. Set your affection on things above. I'm only saying what the scripture is saying. Set your affections, your primary affections, your dearest affections on things above. I love my children, all nine of them. They're my youngest sitting right there, only daughter. You know I love her, if I got any sense. But set your primary affections on things above. Amen. She's my daughter now. I was 43 when she born. How long you think that gonna last? She won't always be my daughter. We'll both be where we always were, members of Christ's body and all affections unto our head, even Christ. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. All right. Let me try to do what I said, give exegesis on verses 28 and verse 29 of Romans Day chapter. It's a continuation. Well, let me read verse 27 also so I can lead into that, since we're starting out with a coordinating conjunction. But we're starting with a coordinating conjunction in verse 27 also. That's when you have a word or a statement of equal strength to the one preceding it. Okay, verse 27, just primarily for reading. But the one searching the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because according to God, not according to us and what we want. Make our petition to God? Yes. Pray to God for things we want and think we need? By all means, yes. But the Spirit, God searching our minds, the Spirit, according to God, pleads or supplicates in behalf of us, the saints. He supplicates in favor of us. He supplicates for the sake of us, the saints, those set apart to and by God. Now, another coordinating conjunction. Here's a statement of equal strength unto that was just put forth. But also, yes, the Spirit supplicates and on behalf of the saints, make intercession on behalf of the saints, but also, in addition to that, we have known and do know. Now, I know what the King James and most of the virgins say. We know. But they left out the perfect tense. You got to exegetically look into these scriptures according to exegesis. That is to bring out the literal meaning through interpretation. The perfect tense, we have known and do know. The perfect tense is a completed action. It's a completed action. Not started, not almost started, but it's completed. By who? God. In eternity. When was it completed? It was always completed. The perfect tense don't mean it was completed 1,000 or 1,000,000,000 years ago. And it was always completed if it's the perfect tense. And it means a completed action with ongoing results. So, we have known because God decreed it, and we do know with the ongoing results of the perfect tense. And it's in the indicative mood. These things mean something. The indicative mood is a fact. A fact is a thing that's known to have occurred or a thing that is done. It's from the Latin word factum, which means done. It is a fact. When was it a fact? It was always a fact because it's in and from the venue of eternity, unending, without time, no time, no change in eternity. That's why our salvation is there. That's why our true existence is there in eternality, spiritually, because temporality, all going to fail. All going to fade. Everything in physicality, in time, and temporality will pass away with time. It shall be gone. God decreed that we have known and do know. He decreed it from eternity where we were and where we actually are. Decreed what? Now, here is what we call a conjunction or superordinating conjunction. If a coordinating conjunction introduces some of equal strength to the previous clause, a superordinating conjunction gives you something that's out of sight. What have we known and do know? That the loving God, or not as some versions say, them that love God. No, you do not love God out of yourself. God had decreed us to love him. Everybody is not decreed to love God. You have to be decreed, chosen, one of his own, to love him. What is it say in Romans, I think the third chapter? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Well, I sought the Lord for 30 years, for 20 years, for 5 months. You sought him because you were caused to seek him. You followed after him because you were caused to follow after him. What the flesh want to do? Its thing. Oh, how much flesh? All flesh. We have known and do know that the loving God, the all, I like to jump up from Sunday school when Pastor mentioned this here about the all. I said, oh my God, that's in the message. The all is working for good. I don't know if I'm going to get through two verses, Pastor. The all is working for or to good. The definite article, the, is singular. The adjective, all, is plural. The consummate, all, is working for good. You mean all the good stuff? Yeah. But not the bad stuff, surely, or what we determine bad. Yeah, it is. The all is working together for good. We don't see it, but what God's word does, it says it. The other week, a week ago tomorrow, just bought my little truck. I haven't had it 2 months. The Lord made me tell y'all I have a new truck, Pastor, by this testimony. I'm going down the street and run in front of me. I come up behind me, bam! Knocked, smashed the whole back in, $7,000 worth of damage. You mean that's working together for good? That is in the all. All in creation is working together for good to those loving God. Everything. God, listen. We abhor things like the little baby being killed and burnt up. We abhor things like bullies chasing down young fellows and killing them and maiming them. But you must remember, it could not go down in God's creation except the Lord enable it. Unless he enabled it. As we saw in the Sunday school with the situation of Job, God directs evil for his purpose. For his purpose. He wanted a testimony and an enlightenment for Job, so he allowed Satan to take everything he got, even his lovely daughters and all 10 of his children and everything else he had. You're talking about not being able to get your Social Security check. Jesus. The Lord allowed Satan to take everything down, but he had one stipulation. Satan had to. Satan didn't even try to step over that line, that boundary. He could not take Job's life. Couldn't do it. Amen. Why? Because God had determined it. And God sets the bounds regarding all things. Amen. All things in the heavenlies and all things on the earth. God sets the bounds. He determines it all. All working together for good. You mean sufferings? Yes. And I got some corroborative scriptures here. Even sufferings. I want to give 3 corroborations so that we can get a good view. Elder, turn quickly to Luke chapter 24, verse 26. Luke chapter 24, verse 26. Job had a testimony, saints, while he's getting that. When his wife told him, say, curse God and die. You'll be out of your misery then. This stuff won't affect you. He said, woman, you talking crazy. You talk like one of the silly women. This is what Job was caused to say more. Shall we only receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil also?
Yes.
The implication was certainly. That's what he was implying. It's all according to God's purpose. What did our Lord Jesus Christ pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That was the petition. That was the prayer. And then, being caused to align with the will of God. That was this expression of his humanity. But being a cause to align with the will of God, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine is done. The Holy Spirit, he causes us. He makes intercession for us when we come up short, usually in our prayers. And he intercedes and aligns our petition with the will of God. Ellie, you have Luke 24 and 26?
Yes.
I read 25 and 26. Suffering is a part of God's purpose in our lives.
Then he said unto them,
Old fools,
and slow of heart to believe.
Now, this is after the resurrection of Christ, and he was showing himself unto the different ones of his followers. And he joined himself to 2 that were taking the road to Emmaus, and he joined himself to them and was communing and conversing with them. And they said, man, where you been? Don't you know what happened around here? And so the story go on. And they just couldn't believe what had happened. We thought that it was him, one said, that was to deliver Israel. But they were talking about a national deliverance from Roman oppression to put Israel back at the head of the nation where they were up under David. But that was not Christ's purpose. All right. Read it, Ella.
Then he said unto them.
Then Christ said unto the two of them.
O fools. And slow of heart to believe.
Slow of hearts to believe.
All that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ.
Shouldn't Christ what?
Should have suffered these things. And entered into his glory.
And saints of God, we are determined or decreed to the same thing. Before we are manifestly glorified, there's suffering that goes along with our being in Christ. There's suffering associated with it. Run quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. All is working. God works all for good to the loving him. Ella, when you get it, read. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8.
Okay.
Read it, Ella.
But watch thou in all things.
This is Paul's instruction to his understudy and son in the gospel, Timothy, when he's getting ready to make his exodus out of physicality. But watch thou, he say unto him, in all things.
Mm-hmm. Endure afflictions.
Uh-oh. Make sure you get you a jet and enjoy life finally. No. Endure afflictions, troubles, problems, that's surely going to come. And this is the aorist imperative. God hath commanded this in eternity. But this is a command of grace. Remember, we are in the dispensation of grace. Everything is of grace, even the commands of grace. Endure afflictions. What else?
Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry.
Also in Arius, making full proof of thy ministry. God has already determined and decreed that. Amen. All right, read on.
For I am now ready. To be offered. And time of my departure is at hand.
That's a present indicative. That's a fact. It was always a fact. God had caused him, amen, to accept his, course. All right? And the time of my departure is at hand. Another perfect indicative. God decreed in eternity. It completed with ongoing results. It manifests, amen, just as God decreed it. Indicative, it's a fact. His time of his departure is at hand. And he'd been called to know that. Mm-hmm. Verse 7.
I have fought a good fight.
Oh, yes, I have.
I have finished my course.
Perfect indicative passive. We're not doing nothing on our own out here, saints. Mm-hmm. Our going about, our functioning in time, and our assigned functions, our functioning is of the Lord. The all in creation. God works for good, and he controls the all. It's already been determined for good, for our good. Whether we like it or don't, according to the flesh. Whether we can see the good in it or not, it has been determined, decreed for our good, our eternal good. All right, I fought the good fight, perfect, indicative, passive. He will cause, amen, to endure it, the good fight, which was associated with suffering. Read.
I have kept the faith.
I finished my course. Perfect indicative. God determined what the course would be. Hallelujah. And he had to go according to that course. Saints of God, the Lord had determined what will manifest in our course of life. We think we pick and choose, but God has already determined the course, as he has determined here with Paul. I've kept the faith. Perfect indicative again. I've kept the faith. It's not our faith. Paul didn't keep it out of himself. It is the faithfulness of Christ. And as the Lord give us faith to believe and to continue and to operate. Henceforth what? Verse 8. Finish it up, Ella.
Henceforth.
All right.
There is laid up for me.
There's laid up for me.
A crown of righteousness.
Crown of righteousness.
Which the Lord.
With the Lord.
The righteous judge.
The righteous judge.
Shall give me.
Shall give. Future indicative. Shall give having given. From God's decree. It's already done. What I said this before. Why do you think the book of Revelation can be written as to end time dealings with the earth and time? Why do you think it can be completed of everything that's going to happen? Antichrist, lion and lamb laying down all together. Why do you think it can be completed? Because God has already determined or decreed it in his seed.
Amen.
He determines everything.
Amen.
Everything. The seen and the unseen, as in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. He has created and determined everything. Did you finish that verse, Ella? Finish that verse and we'll go back.
Shall give me that day.
At that day.
And not to me only.
Not to me only.
But unto them also.
Also. Not. Go ahead.
Love his cover,
that love his appearance. That love his appearance. Like you're going to be there waiting. Oh, Lord, I hope he'll hurry up and come. That's a perfect indicative in the passive voice. Passive voice is done to you. You don't do it. You don't actuate it. It's done to you. You're called to love his appearing.
Amen.
We got to exegete God's word in order to get the right understanding.
Amen.
Back to Romans 8. Back to Romans 8. The last one, Elder, I want you to read Romans 8 and 18. Back to Romans chapter 8 and take, I'm going to finish with this. I'm not even going to try to get to verse 29. Romans 8 and verse 18. I want to get this last one in. See, we want the good things to happen. We want the raises. Nothing wrong with that. We want the checks to continue and be raised if they can. Nothing wrong with that. We want everything to be set and settled in order. We want the kids to be in conformity. We want everything to cause to act right. Our business affairs and our body functioning to go well. We want that. Nothing wrong with that. But let us look. We got to put the right focus on suffering according to what the Lord has determined. Elder, read Romans 8, verse 18.
For I reckon,
Paul said, for I reckon
that the sufferings of this present time.
That the suffering, I should let you read this from the interlinear, but that's okay. I reckon, I calculate that the sufferings of the now time or this present time,
are not worthy.
Are not worthy
to be compared.
All right, you see, to be that two is in italics, so it's not. It don't belong there. But not worthy in comparison with what, Elder?
With the glory.
The glory.
Which shall be revealed in us.
Which shall be having been. Aorist, infinitive, and the passive voice. God have already taken care of the glory, as we read down in verse 30, where we are already glorified. The suffering saints of the present time, whatever they are. Whatever they are, the bullying, the anticipation and fear of fright of higher learning or job or business ventures or health issues, whatever they may be, kinfolk, whatever, the sufferings of the present time, or the now time are not worthy in comparison with the glory that shall be having been revealed in us. God has taken care of everything concerning us. Everything. We are complete. Our salvation is complete. It's settled and it's set. Our glorious joy only awaits manifestation. And we all have a destiny with that. This is temporary. Everything around us. Everything. So, saints of God, irregardless of what you see, whether it's Washington, D.C., or in your home, or in your neighborhood, or in society, irregardless of what you see, let's prayerfully put our trust in the Word of God. If we can't believe His Word, even tell Him like the brother did in the Gospels, Lord, I believe, help thou, or Acts, one or the other, help thou my unbelief. Cause me to take you at and to trust in your word, irregardless what my eyes think they see, irregardless of what I'm manifestly going through. Lord, according to your will, like Jesus said in Gethsemane, according to your will, it is done. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. God bless you.